ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम टेक्स्ट चैप्टर 7 सॉरी कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 11। श्री प्रहलाद उवाच पर स्वश्चेत आसद ग्रहा पुंसं या मायया कृता विमोहिता धियं दृष्टस् तस्मै भगवते नमः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीला एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रीला प्रभुपाद। प्रहलाद महाराज रिप्लाइड, लेट मी ऑफर माई रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबीसेंसेस अनटू द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड हुज एक्सटर्नल एनर्जी हैज क्रिएटेड द डिस्टिंक्शंस ऑफ माई फ्रेंड एंड माई एनिमी बाई डिल्यूडिंग द इंटेलिजेंस ऑफ मैन। इनडीड आई एम नाउ एक्चुअली एक्सपीरियंसिंग दिस ऑल्दो आई हैव प्रीवियसली हर्ड ऑफ इट फ्रॉम ऑथोरिटेटिव सोर्सेस। Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 5.18, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmani Gavi Hastini Suni Chaiva Swapakecha Panditaha Samadarshana. A humble sage by virtue of true knowledge sees with equal vision a learned and a gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog and a dog eater, outcast. Pandita, those who are actually learned, the equipoised, advanced devotees who have full knowledge of everything, do not see any living entity as the enemy or friend. Instead, with broader vision, they see that everyone is part of Krishna, as confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera Swarupahaya Krishna Ranitya Das. Every living entity being part of the Supreme Lord is meant to serve the Lord, just as every part of the body is meant to serve the whole body. As servants of the Supreme Lord, all living entities are one, but a Vaishnava, because of his natural humility, addresses every other living entity as Prabhu. A Vaishnava sees other servants to be so advanced that he has much to learn from them. Thus he accepts all other devotees of the Lord as Prabhus, masters. Although everyone is a servant of the Lord, one Vaishnava servant, because of humility, sees another servant as his master. Understanding of master begins from the understanding of the spiritual master. Yasya prasad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadan nagaditu topi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Shakshat haritvena samasta shastra yuktasta thava. भग एव शाब्दी किंतु प्रभौर्य प्रिय एव तस्य वंदे गुरु श्री चरणार वृंदम। द स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर इज टू बी ऑनर्ड एज मच एज सुप्रीम लॉर्ड बिकॉज ही इज द मोस्ट कॉन्फिडेंशियल सर्वेटर ऑफ द लॉर्ड। दिस इज एक्नॉलेज्ड इन ऑल रिवील्ड स्क्रिप्चर्स एंड फॉलोड बाय ऑल अथॉरिटीज। देयरफॉर आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबीसेंस टू द लोटस फीट ऑफ सच अ स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर हु इज बोनाफाइड रिप्रेजेंटेटिव ऑफ श्री हरि कृष्णा। द सुप्रीम मास्टर the spiritual master, the servant of God, is engaged in the most confidential service of the Lord, namely delivering all the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya, in which one thinks, this person is my enemy and that one is my friend. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the friend of all living entities, and all living entities are eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. Oneness is possible through this understanding, not through artificially thinking that every one of us is God or equal to God. The true understanding is that God is Supreme Master and that all of us are servants of the Supreme Lord and are therefore on the same platform. This had already been taught to Prahlad Maharaj by his spiritual master Narada. But Prahlad was nonetheless surprised by how a bewildered soul thinks one person his enemy, another his friend. As long as one adheres to the philosophy of duality, thinking one person a friend and another an enemy, he should be understood to be in the clutches of Maya. The Mayavadi philosopher who thinks that all living entities are God and are therefore 1 is also mistaken. No one is equal to God. The servant cannot be equal to the master. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, the master is one and the servant are also one. But distinction between the master and servant must continue even in liberated stage. In the conditioned stage, we think that some living entity are our friends, whereas others are enemies, and thus we are in duality. In liberated stage, however, the conception is that God is the master and that all living entities, being servant of God, are one. Hare Krishna. So we are reading this very exciting episode from the Srimad Bhagavatam about the wonderful glories of Prahlad Maharaj and the wonderful appearance of Lord Narasingadev. While hearing this, we should all remember that it was all these verses which brought about great ecstasy to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was hearing it from Gadhar Pandit. The same very verses that we are hearing just today. To such an extent that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the same verses again and again and again. So, with this background, we'll try to speak on this particular verse. Now, this is a wonderful episode. What has happened is, Prahlad was taken by his teachers to meet his father, Hiranyakasipu, the most powerful conqueror of the whole world at that point of time. And in great anticipation, Hiranyakasipu asks Prahlad, "What have you learned?" And to the utter surprise of Hiranyakasipu and much more to his teachers, he replied something which they didn't want to hear. He spoke about his attraction to Krishna, to Vishnu. And Hiranyakasipu was surprised, shocked. And he told his teacher that somebody is really coming in our kingdom and brainwashing this child. Please make sure that he is protected from all this. He said, "I don't want this Prahlad to be the friend of my enemy. I don't want him to start loving my enemy." And Prahlad was hearing this. It seems from this particular verse that this was the first time Prahlad was exposed to dualities of friend and enemy. Because Prahlad writes very, very clearly here, "I'm actually experiencing this, although I previously heard from authoritative sources." Prahlad had heard from Narad Muni, but here in right in front of his eyes, he saw his own father talking about enemy. "Vishnu is my enemy, and I don't want him to be associated with Vishnu or anything to do with Vishnu or any devotees of Vishnu." So Prahlad is speaking this. In the previous verse, his teachers, in a very diplomatic, in a very externally loving way, are trying to extract the truth from Prahlad. When you want to really extract anything from a child, you cannot be very strict. If you ask the child very strictly, "What did you do? Tell me." The child will never tell you. But if you want to really extract something, Prahlad was a baby, a child. So the teachers are very diplomatically talking to him. They're saying, "Oh, best of your family." Now in their mind, they're thinking that, "Hey, kahan se aa gaya? He's the worst of the family. He's going to really put us out of job. And we are going to be in big trouble." But still they are trying to appease him by his sweet talks. "Oh, best of the family." And then in the end he says, "Please tell us the truth." And Prahlad speaks. This is the reply of Prahlad. This verse reveals certain wonderful qualities of Prahlad Maharaj when he was a child. First thing what he reveals is that Prahlad himself was practicing what he is speaking. Prahlad is talking about my enemies and my friends. Prahlad, even though he is a devotee of Krishna, devotee of Vishnu,
and he knew his teachers were demons, but he didn't see them as enemies. That's why he's speaking what he's speaking now, right now. If Prahlad actually saw them as enemies, then Prahlad would have been very diplomatic in his reply. He's very straightforward in his reply. Because he's seeing them as teachers, he's very truthful. And Prahlad's quality of being simple and straightforward comes very clearly from this verse. He's not trying to be diplomatic. He's not speaking something which he is not believing. He's being very honest. And of course, another thing that comes out of this verse, that Prahlad is glorifying Krishna in a very amazing way. He is glorifying Krishna's external energy. He is saying that, let me offer my respectful obeisance unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose external energy has created the distinction of my enemies and my friends. So he is seeing the external energy as connected to Krishna. And he is seeing that that external energy is so wonderful, so amazing, that it has created such a distinction, this has created such an impression in people's minds, this powerful energy of Krishna, that when people start seeing somebody as friend and somebody as enemy. For us, to see somebody as a friend and enemy is so natural. But for Prahlad, it is amazing. How can this be? Because he's thinking from a very, very high level of consciousness. He sees everybody as equal. But he's seeing something very amazing, the wonderful power of the external energy, which has deluded the people to such an extent that people start seeing as somebody as friend, somebody as enemy. So this verse shows the wonderful quality of Prahlad. And Prabhupada begins the purport in a very wonderful way by quoting this sloka, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne. The translation is, a humble sage by virtue of true knowledge. A virtue of true knowledge, a sage sees with equal vision a gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. Now, from the external point of view, there's absolutely no connection, or rather no similarities or no equality between a brahmana, a dog eater, an elephant. They look completely different. Isn't it? But what is it that this verse is talking about? It's talking about true knowledge. That means there has to be something what is called false knowledge. If something is true, then there has to be something false. But it is still knowledge. So when we have knowledge, I mean, nothing, knowledge is acquired through education. When we have knowledge of seeing what we see through our eyes, that is not real knowledge. What is true knowledge? As we learn from this verse, true knowledge is to not see what you see, but to see what you don't see. I repeat, true knowledge is to not see what you see, but to see what you don't see. In other words, to see what Krishna sees. So what is this verse talking about? What is the equality in this dog, a cow, or elephant, or a dog eater, or a brahmana? What is the equality? That is the spirit soul, the Paramatma, which is equal in all. And that is what a sage with true knowledge sees. He's not seeing the external body, he's seeing something much more deeper. Right? That is true knowledge. True knowledge means to go deeper. To not see what you see. Many times we see what we see and we make conclusions. But that's not true knowledge. Spiritual life is about going much, much more deeper. So Krishna consciousness is not a superficial science. It is a deep science. It is a science of going deeper. In the conversation between Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's what external Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Ramananda Rai. Aho bahya. This is external. Go deeper. We don't want to be really happy with the external things. To go deeper. And as we progress in Krishna consciousness, what is really happening is our understanding of Krishna is becoming more and more deeper. When we come initially to Krishna consciousness, we have a very superficial understanding of Krishna consciousness. We feel that in a matter of few months, at the most, I will become a pure devotee. How many of you felt that when you first came to Krishna consciousness? At least I felt that. That in a matter of few months, because I will chant Hare Krishna, I already love the deities. I love to dance in kirtan. It's definitely very wonderful to eat prasadam. And that's what Krishna and Prabhupada tells us. That if you like all these things, you become a pure devotee. And you feel that, yes, it is very fast, you become a pure devotee. An incident comes to my mind in my own life. I was exposed to Krishna consciousness. I came into Krishna consciousness in the year 1988. And just few months after that, I was introduced in the month of May. And a few months after that, we went on a Jagannath Puri Yatra. The Yatra is something which is part of our temple since that year, that many, since 1998. We were on a Yatra which were having around 70-80 devotees. And we were in the train with the Yatra leader, who was Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And this was the first time that I was on a Yatra. And the temple president at that time was sitting with Radhanath Maharaj, myself, and my brother, Dwarkadish Prabhu. And he asked a question to Radhanath Maharaj. And said, Maharaj, usually we see brothers coming to Krishna consciousness. But who becomes a better devotee, the younger brother or the elder brother? So I was waiting for the answer. I was really waiting for the answer. And Maharaj looked at me and looked at my brother and said, I don't know about others, but in this case, it is the younger brother. And I was feeling very happy. I said, Jai! And I was thinking about my brother. I said, he has been chanting since 1982 and he has been struggling for chanting. And here I am. I just come and in a matter of months, this person tells me that I am going to be a better devotee. Little did I know, this is simply the words of encouragement. My brother, of course, you all know, is lifetimes ahead of my spiritual understanding. Lifetimes ahead. Dwarkesh Babu must be hearing this somewhere. Lifetimes ahead. So this is what happens. That when you come to Krishna consciousness, we feel that we are almost pure devotees. We are coined a particular word. It is called the PP syndrome, the premature Paramhansa syndrome. We feel that we are almost Paramhansas, because suddenly one fine day, when in initial days of Krishna consciousness, we see one tear coming in our eyes. I say, oh! I remember in my own life, I just saw one tear. Maybe it was after exhaustion. I don't know. But I saw one tear coming. I said, Dhyanam kalat ashrudhaya vadanam gadgad rudaya gira. This is nice. So Krishna encourages us by this feelings. This is external. The initial years of Krishna consciousness, initial months, this is external. As we spend more time in Krishna consciousness, Krishna introduces us to our anarthas. That here is your lust, and here is your greed, and here is your pride, and here is your cheating propensity, here is your stealing propensity. And you, one by one, you realize, my God, he's exposing you to different things. It happened to all of you. First, you felt encouraged. You felt very nice. You're almost becoming a pure devotee. And suddenly, one fine day, some senior devotee who is a well-wisher exposed you. Say, you rascal, you are a lusty fellow. I saw you doing this lusty thing. I said, oh my God. And that you're cheating. You're not speaking the truth. And then you get exposed. And that being exposed continues for a couple of months. One after another. You get exposed. That happened to me. And then from one extreme of being almost a Paramhansa, you come to the other extreme, you want to give up Krishna consciousness. It is too much. Right? It's too much to see my anarthas. I cannot accept the fact that I am so lusty, that I am so greedy, that I am so proud, that I am so manipulative. that I have a cheating propensity, it is too difficult. You come to another extreme pendulum. I want to give it up. But Krishna consciousness is all about going deeper. Some other, by the association of devotees, by the encouragement of the senior Vaishnavas and the spiritual master, we continue in our Krishna consciousness. And then we continue in our Krishna consciousness, we become much more sober, more realistic, and more deep. And to sum it up all, more introspective. As we spend more time in Krishna consciousness. Time is required for maturity. A mango, all it requires is to stay connected to a tree. It takes some time before it becomes a ripe mango. Before it really gets the sweetness of the quality of a mango. If you artificially, then nowadays, you know, all the more you will experience this season, it will be artificially ripened mangoes because the mangoes are delayed. Santu Mahaprabhu told us in the farm that because of the unseasonal rain, the mangoes are delayed. And of course, they have to have sales, so they will ripen it artificially by some powder, some chemicals. What happens by that process? It looks ripened, but there is no sweetness. That's when a devotee is simply doing externally things, but doesn't go deep into Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is all about going deeper, having a deeper understanding of Krishna consciousness. So, when we are talking about going deeper, what is that one thing that a devotee realizes? As we go ahead in Krishna consciousness, we realize the most important thing in our life is chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. We realize that it is only by this chanting can we really get rid of this anarthas, cheto darpana marjanam. How do we get rid of this dirt that is there in the mirror of our heart? It is by chanting Hare Krishna. And we become more and more deep in our chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna is the foundation of our spiritual life. Chanting is the foundation of our spiritual life. Once, many times, you know, we think, this chanting is very good, but I have to also do some service. I have to do some practical devotional service. And as we go forward, we get so caught up in our services. Being, say, writers of BTG articles, or counselors, or college preachers, or comm leaders, or yatra leaders, or so on and so forth. We get so caught up with these external activities that we forget the importance of chanting. Once, Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, and Malti Mataji was admitted in the hospital for some ailment that she was admitted for many days. And Prabhupada went to meet her, and the moment Prabhupada went to meet her, she said, "Prabhupada, I am very sorry, I am not able to do any service. All I am doing is just chanting 16 rounds. Prabhupada said, "That's all you need to do. But because you Western boys and girls, your mind is so chanchal, so unsteady, I have to engage you in some practical devotional service. But the ultimate aim of all devotional service is to chant Hare Krishna." So chanting is not simply one of the things, it is the thing, and that is the foundational thing. But we have to understand what is the main ingredient in the foundation. Like we have a foundation, we lay foundations of so many buildings. What is the main ingredient in the foundation? It is the right amount of cement and water. That's the main ingredient. What is the main ingredient in our chanting? The main ingredient which comes in they're talking about the second part of this purport is humility. Trinadapi suni chena taror eva sahishna amanina mana dena kirtanya sadahari. The feelings of humility. Once I had gone to a particular program, and there was a huge cake made, beautiful cake, a big cake with a thick, almost 3 inches of icing over the cake, beautifully done, very artistic. It was looking extremely attractive. The cake was extremely attractive. And everybody was really salivating at their mouths to really wait for the time when somebody will cut the cake, and they honored the cake. It was so beautifully made. And really, the person cut it and everybody was in line for the cake. And everybody got the cake. And they started eating the cake. And they realized that there was no sugar in the cake. Everything was there. The icing, the beauty, the everything, all the sponginess. But there was no sugar. The main ingredient of a cake is sugar. Similarly, in our chanting, you might have the best of postures. You might have the best of environments. You might have the best of the most rounded beads. Perfect rounds, 108 of them. And the most clean bead bag. And the most clean clothes that you are wearing. And a nice agarbati, the best of agarbatis that you are lit. And a beautiful form of the Lord in front of you. Tulsi Maharani growing beautifully. But these are all external. It's like a cake with all the things without the sugar. The main ingredient of chanting Hare Krishna is the humility. It is the humility of the heart. Hare Krishna Mahamantra, I was hearing one tape of Indradurma Maharaj, in which he says that we say Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It's a mantra. But he's saying it is not actually a mantra. Because a mantra has a bij. It has a bij, it's like Om or Shklim, like that. And from the bij comes the strength, as he was explaining in this, Indruma was explaining. And from the strength, that makes the whole thing a mantra. When you say Klim Krishna Namaha, it is a mantra. Because there is a bij, the Klim or Shrim or whatever you call it. But there is no Om or Klim in front of Hare Krishna. It does not say Om Hare Krishna. Sometimes we chant when you do yajnas. Because we chant Mahamantra as a mantra. But when we chant Hare Krishna, we don't say Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Do we say that? We don't say Om Klim Hare Krishna, we say Hare Krishna. So it is not a mantra, it's a prayer. Beautiful point he was trying to drive. Mahamantra is not a mantra. Mantra is chanted by mind. The prayer is chanted from the heart. Of course, when we come from the heart, the mind is involved. But when it comes to the mind, the heart may not be involved. So the Mahamantra is a prayer where we are praying to the Lord. And when you pray, what is the ingredient required in the prayer? It is not some flowery language. It can be used. But what is really important, the main requirement, is the humility. Prayer is nothing but a cry of humility. There's a beautiful, pastime of Srila Prabhupada that I read. Many of you must have read in the book of Mula Prakriti Mataji. She wrote Prabhupada's interactions with many, many devotees before, and that is the pre-ISKCON era. And she writes a wonderful interaction with his godbrother, O.B.L. Kapoor. I am not sure about his initiated name, but that's how his name comes in all his books, O.B.L. Kapoor. When Prabhupada was in Allahabad, he was a chemist. He was doing his, in a chemical business, he would mix different chemicals and, into pharmaceutical business. And one day, O.B.L. Kapoor came and he said, Abhai, how are you? How is everything going on? And Abhay Charan, our Srila Prabhupada, he replied, I said, I have found the formula for love of God. I said, really? He said, yes, I have found the formula for love of God. So O.B.L. Kapoor was very excited. Please tell me. He was ready with a pen and a paper to write down the formula. What is the formula? Prabhupada, in great humility, he said, I have found the formula. I do not know how to apply it. I do not know how to apply it. Obhya Kapoor said, you are making me too impatient. Tell me the formula first. We'll talk about the application later. Please tell me the formula. He said, the formula is, let us all repeat. Trinadapi sunichena taro reva sahishuna amanina mana deha kirtanya sadahari. This is the formula for love of God. And of course, we very well know, Prabhupada knew it brilliantly, because it is very evident from his poetry which he wrote this on the Jaladuta. All the four aspects that are mentioned in this verse of humility, of tolerance, of amanina mana dena, is covered in this poetry that Prabhupada wrote. Beautifully covered. So, we will understand that when these two great personalities are talking, what is the, when Prabhupada is openly revealing this secret to us, that what is really the formula for love of God? That is the humility, the Trinadapi Sunichena verse. I was trying to just see where all this verse appears. Because in the second part of Prabhupada's purport, he says very clearly about humility, about a Vaishnava's natural humility. He addresses everyone as Prabhu, and he doesn't expect any respect for oneself. So this very cardinal verse, where all it appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote only 8 verses. That's all he gave to the world. His grammar book was so much in the Ganges. The only 2 things that he wrote in his life, the grammar book and the 8 verses. The grammar book was thrown by himself because of his friend's despondency. And he just gave us these 8 verses. Where all he has spoken about Trinadapi Sunichena. Once when he was at Navadvip, he assumed the form of a boar. And he shouted, Shukara, Shukara. And he ran to the house of Shukalamar Brahmachari and started eating the raw rice from him. From his house. And he ate the whole portion of the rice. And then he called all the devotees together. He said, all of you please come. And he started explaining the meaning of the verse, Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Harir Nam Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gadiranitha. He was saying again and again that how these three things are 2 things that are repeated thrice. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Harir Nam Eva Kevalam. And then, what did he say? A beautiful verse. He said, Urdhva Bahu Kori Kohen Shuna Sarva Loka. He told everybody this verse. Urdhva Bahu Kori Kohe Shune Sarva Loka Nama Sutre Ganti Para Kanti Yes Loka. Then he spoke in the Adilila chapter 17, verse number 31. After he spoke about Harinam Harinam verse, he said, Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Eva Saishna. Amanina mana dena kirtanya sadahari. Then he said, raising my hands I declare. Now who is this person declaring? It's not some politician. He said, I declare. Some politician says that we don't care a fig to him. Who is he? But his Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, raising his hands, is declaring to the whole world. He said, declare, everyone please hear me. This is what our Gurujan Prabhu has taught us, how to study Prabhupada's books in a very, in a meditative way, in a prayerful way. Where he says that you read a particular point and meditate upon it. Don't go further, don't be in a hurry to really finish off the book. That is one way of reading he taught us at our seminars which he took at the Vada farm. And I was trying to do that here. And he said, raising my hands I declare. Please hear me. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling us, please hear me. The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Yuga Avatar is saying this, folding his hands. String this verse at the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke this Trinadapi Sunicha verse, which we discussed, is the main ingredient of chanting Hare Krishna to all the devotees who were assembled at the house of Shukalambar Brahmachari. Second, also, there is also mention of the same verse which he spoke. He didn't write only, he spoke. when he was interacting with our Prayojana Acharya, Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami, after the Dhanikeda festival, he was told to go back to his home, and after the wonderful Leela of being at home, he released himself and he came to the shelter, to lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even asking for instructions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just gave him two instructions. He said, for remaining, please contact Swarup Damodar Goswami. But these two instructions I will give you. What are the two instructions? And I heard Radhanath Maharaj and many of the sannyasis, our spiritual masters, telling us that these two instructions of Raghunath Das Goswami are the life and soul of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. He says, number first verse, Abhalana peribe ar bharana khoibe. What is the first line? Bhalana peribe bhalana khoibe. He talks about that don't eat palatable food. Grama kathana shuribe, grama kathana khoibe, bharana peribe ar bharana khoibe. That don't you hear in a mundane talks, don't speak them, and don't don't wear opulent clothes and don't eat opulent food. And then, if you want specific, Antalila chapter 6 verse number 239, he again tells you, Raghunath Das Goswami, the only two things that he told, one is the first which we repeated, and second thing, Trinadapi suni chena taro reva saishuna amanina manadena kirtanya sadahari. He explained to Raghunath Das Goswami that this verse, you should hear it. This is our Prayojana Acharya in the making at that point of time. He was Prayojana Acharya in the making. And that's what our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him. Trinadabhi suni chena. So this verse appears two places, personally spoken by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Twice. So this is, it's a great importance that we understand this wonderful story by the interaction of Prabhupada and OBL Kapoor. By the interaction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the devotees at the house of Shuklambar Brahmachari, and by the interaction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Raghunath Das Goswami. Prabhupada makes a very beautiful point here that how we can understand the glory of a master of Prabhu. Vaishnava sees everybody as Prabhu by understanding the spiritual master. Prabhupada makes a very beautiful point here that we can understand the masters by understanding the spiritual master. I was hearing a beautiful conversation by Prabhupada on a morning walk. Prabhupada's morning walk was the most amazing nectarine gifts to the world. The morning walks. And this time Prabhupada was walking and the devotees were very, very keen to hear what Prabhupada speaks in the morning walk. And Prabhupada would sometimes ask questions on the morning walk. A very wonderful relation that he had with his disciples. Sometimes he would speak to them the truths. Sometimes he would ask questions. And devotees were always eager to really reply. In such a way that Prabhupada is impressed and happy with them. Once Prabhupada, morning walk, he asked, which is the most elegant or most beautiful animal? The most aristocratic animal? And you know, of course, devotees wanted to impress Prabhupada. They all said, Prabhupada, cow. Cow, because they thought that Prabhupada will be very happy when you say cow, because cow is worshipable. Prabhupada said, what cow? Not cow, it's the horse. See, when the horse walks, see how regal and aristocratic the horse is. Similarly, in this morning walk, Prabhupada was walking, and suddenly, I was seeing this DVD, and Prabhupada suddenly stops and turns and said, he asked his followers, what is the duty of the guru and what is the duty of the disciples? A very, very general question in one sense. But Prabhupada is asking it, so we can't give general answers. So what is the duty of the guru and what is the duty of the disciple? What would you answer? Prabhuji, what would you answer? Let us hear what Prabhupada answers. The devotees gave answer to Prabhupada and Prabhupada heard it. And Prabhupada gave a very brilliant, simple but profound answer, which practically, to be honest, has really impacted my heart profusely. Prabhupada said, what is the duty of the guru? The duty of the guru is to serve Krishna. And what is the duty of the disciple? The duty of the disciple is to assist the Guru in serving Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, the key. What a brilliant, profound answer. That's all a disciple should think he is doing. He is not serving Krishna. What right we have to think that we are serving Krishna? Who are we to approach Krishna? It is the Guru who is serving Krishna. He is doing all the services. We sing in the morning prayers. Shivigrahara dhananitya nana shingaratan mandira marjanado. And in the morning we see this activity is happening. The devotees are cleaning the floor. In due course they are going to dress the deities. They give lectures. And devotees do a lot of things. But all of those things will become external if we don't understand this very cardinal important principle that Prabhupada taught in this morning walk. The duty of the Guru is doing his duty for sure. We are not really here to really figure out. The Guru is brilliantly doing his duty to serve Krishna. But let's figure out, are we doing our duty as disciples? And what is our duty? To simply assist. And Prabhupada explains that whatever a disciple does, his mood is to always think that he is simply assisting his Guru. The Guru is not able to do all the duties. So he is simply assisting his Guru. And one interaction, Srila Radhanath Maharaj was talking to one lady, and she had just become a mother. And Maharaj said, you should see this child as a property of the Guru. And the Guru can't take care of the child. Obviously, right? So the Guru is entrusting their responsibility to the mother to take care of the child. What a brilliant understanding. If we all have that understanding, we will be such wonderful devotees. That no matter whatever we are doing, remember sitting on a race platform, speaking to thousands of people. What are we really doing? We are simply assisting the spiritual master in serving Krishna. And the assistant can never get the glory. One of the very powerful stories, very simple but profound story, the story of the Brahmana and the rat. And where the rat becomes a cat and the cat becomes a dog and a dog becomes a tiger, something like that. And a tiger sees, oh, the Brahmana, he's a very nice, he's skinny, but he can be very crunchy. he approaches the Brahmana to have a crunchy feast. And the Brahmana says, Punar Mushtika Bhava. Again, Mushika or Mushtika. Mushika, right? Whatever it is. Punar Mouse Bhava. Rat Bhava. And again becomes a rat. And we should all understand that on the Balbhuta or the Balbhute of Guru, we are becoming what? Big things. But we are simply assisting our spiritual master. If we think we are doing, all the Guru needs to do is raise his hands and say, Punar Mushika Bhava. And you will forget everything just the way Karna forgot everything when really required the knowledge. He was shocked. He was trying. He forgot everything. He just forgot. He didn't get the... Where is the power's gone? He forgot. Arjuna was shocked when he was defeated by some ordinary forest dwellers. Because Krishna withdrew his powers to make him humble. Of course, we understand from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's purport that those forest dwellers who kidnapped the queens were actually Krishna. Because who can touch Krishna's queens? So actually Krishna came and defeated Arjun, but in the form of a forest dwellers. So that Arjun becomes very, very humble. Right? So this is the important thing. We can never, ever, ever think that we are ever anything else but a simple, menial, humble servant of our spiritual master. And spiritual life is not just that. It goes much more deeper. We don't just be happy by being assistant of a guru. Prabhupada writes in one of the purports, he says beautifully, that if you find what a broad idea, which we are going to speak just now. He says, if you find a god brother of yours having wonderful qualities, he's showing wonderful qualities of Krishna, you should worship him as good as the spiritual master. Amazing. Not only the spiritual master, but if you see your own god brother, junior, equal or senior, that is not important. Your own god brother is showing wonderful empowerments of Krishna and Guru, he should be worshipped as good as Guru, spiritual master. That's what his spiritual life is all about. Spiritual life is all about appreciation. How do we have relationship with the Vaishnava? The one of the important ingredients of relationship is appreciation. When we appreciate somebody, Prabhupada writes in one of the letters to Hamsadutta Maharaj at that time, he writes in a letter that devotees should only involve in appreciating each other. That is the Vaikuntha mood, that is the Vrindavan mood. Devotees should not be engaged in finding faults with each other. He said that will simply crumple our society and nothing will remain. Prabhupada writes in this letter. So devotees should profoundly be appreciating each other. And that is what this verse speaks about. That how a devotee, not only a genuine, humble Vaishnava, not only respects his guru, not only respects Krishna, but he also respects all the Vaishnava, because the important ingredient that he is having in his heart is the ingredient of humility. So this is what this beautiful verse is teaching us. This powerful personality, Prahlad Maharaj, is teaching us in this verse, and Prabhupada through his purport is trying to drive the point of Vaishnava humility on how we should be constantly meditating upon with the holy name as the thread. We should be having this verse of Trinadabhi Sunichena constantly on our around our necks. We wear like a garland. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually paraphrases this. I said we should use this verse, Trinadabhi Sunichena, make a garland and wear it around our mind. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this in a paraphrased way. Wear it around our mind. So we should constantly, whatever we are doing, the mind should be, the thoughts should be filtered through the filter of Trinadabhi Sunichena. Whatever comes out or whatever goes in should be filtered through the mind with this particular filter of Trinadabhi Sunichena. And if that is done, then we will be really having true knowledge, as the verse says, Vridhya Vinaya Sampane, Bhamini Gavya Hastini, Sunichaya Svapakecha Pandita Samadarshina. Only then we can have the Samadarshina platform. Only then we can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Is my dear devotees, if you have any additions or any corrections, please. Yes, Abhay Prabhu, you want to correct me? I'll be eager to hear.
You mentioned that the heart and the mind. So I just wondered what the difference is between the heart and the mind, that's all.
No, in my little understanding, that the way I mentioned in this particular way, that the mind does things more on the mechanical platform. The heart adds the feelings to it. That's what I was. Where the mind does things in a mechanical way, more like a machine. You know, because that's what the duty of the mind. There's just something. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram. The mind tells you to sit and chant. The mind tells you 5:45, sit and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But then you involve the heart, and that when the heart involved with the mind, you chant Hare Krishna with humility. The feelings of humility, of prayerfulness, it comes from the heart. That is what I. But you are my senior. You know better than me.
No, I'm just asking. It's a long term. Many people have asked me the same thing, and I read in Prabhupada's books. Sometimes he makes a statement about the mind, and then a similar thing he'll say the heart. And I've never been able to understand exactly what the difference is.
Yeah, so, but Prabhu, in this case, I thought what I really meant was the mind and the heart. The mind on the mechanical and the heart on the... is there any other questions? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shishtik Shastakam ki, Trinadabhi Sunichena verse ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nithai Gaura Premanandi.